This is Expanded States. Join us for a deep exploration in expanding awareness, opening the heart, and journeying beyond boundaries. Listen in for illuminating conversation and mind-expanding topics like psychedelics, mindfulness, breathwork, nature immersion, sound healing, and so much more. Welcome back to the Expanded States podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Gale, and I am here today with Victoria Wushner, who is a 5-MeO DMT expert, and I'm really excited to share her with you today. Welcome, Victoria.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Happy to be here.
Thank you. And I'd love for you just to introduce yourself to our listeners, just so they kind of understand, what it is that you're working on.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would love to. Yeah. So my name is Victoria, as Michelle shared, and I live in Mexico at the Tandava Retreat Center, where I am a retreat leader, where we specify with 5-MeO DMT retreats. I am also the president and co-founder of 5, which stands for 5-MeO DMT Information and Vital Education. And this is a platform all around 5-MeO DMT. So folks who, you know, maybe they've never worked with 5-MeO DMT, maybe they have, maybe they're even facilitators. It's really just any folks that want to learn more about 5-MeO DMT so they can safely and responsibly approach working with this medicine.
Oh my goodness. I appreciate the work that you do so much. And I want to share with our listeners that I am completely not a neutrally biased voice here. Just have a full disclosure. I am in love with you and Joelle for sure in a very full way. You know, I came down to Tandava to participate in the research study on 5 with the University of College London. I'm starting the 5 facilitator training in September, which we can talk about. I think might still have a few spots open. And 5 is by far the medicine I feel most called to for my own inner work and for the work that I do with my clients. So just wanted to disclose that as we got started. So Victoria, I would love to hear to start just, you know, what you're most excited about these days in the world of 5, what really has the attention of your heart and mind right now?
Yeah, thank you for asking. I love that question because it's really just, going inside of my soul and feeling into what's alive. And, you know, what's really present for me right now is the work that I'm doing with women. So I am, as you guys know, I just shared that we're here at the Tandava Retreat Center where we do multiple different styles of retreats, but some of those retreats are specialized to specific populations. And this retreat that I'm speaking about, it's our Survivors of Sexual Trauma retreat that's specific for women who obviously have been through sexual trauma. And we work with 5-MeO DMT to help women go into those spaces within themselves to process the trauma, to heal and to transform from it. And, you know, right now we are in June, we're about to go into our second iteration of the retreat. We've already done one last year. I'm super excited about it. I've teamed up with Dr. Holly Richmond, who is a somatic psychotherapist. She's written a book called Reclaiming Pleasure. Just really, really knowledgeable, fantastic woman. And really, she specializes in sexual trauma. So, you know, where I specialize in 5-MeO and she specializes in sexual trauma, we really came together to birth something that we feel really important in this moment. There's so many women who've been through sexual trauma and are looking for a safe space to heal, a safe space to use their voices, a safe space to get comfortable in their bodies, and really, really do this work. And it's been astounding to just see the response from the community with this offering and all of the women that are coming together. It's been really, really powerful. Also getting to see, you know, what we notice in retreats is that every retreat we have, it's very obvious that everyone that's been pulled in for that retreat has been there for a specific reason. Everyone there has something that someone needs to hear, something that someone needs to see. If we have the eyes open and the ears to listen, you know, it's not just the molecule itself that's the medicine, but the entire container and all the people in it. Well, in the women's retreat, oh my goodness. It is incredible because not only are we all women, but we've all been through the same situation. Maybe it's not the exact same, but we really see each other. We see each other in a way that others don't know because they haven't been through it. And so there's just this deep sense of safety and trust and belonging where these women feel, yeah, just safe to be open and to explore those areas where maybe they haven't felt safe enough to kind of face those shadows. So yeah, that's what's alive for me right now, actually.
Wow, just pausing for a moment just to acknowledge that work. I mean, so important and so beautiful, and just appreciating you for what you're doing with women. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
In relation to that, and just in general, I'd love for you to share with the audience, what, from your perspective, what makes 5-MeO-DMT stand out among other psychedelics, for this work you're pointing to, for this. I mean, most of us come to psychedelics, for that inner landscape, to explore that inner landscape. For me, it's just getting to know that monkey mind and that ego and those deeper places, uncover those deeper places that I don't generally go to, like in my conscious life. And so I wonder how you can share, like, what's different about five?
Great question. Yeah, this is a really good question. It's something that we get a lot for folks that are interested in 5-MeO. And, I kind of see it like a Christmas tree. And on this Christmas tree, there's all of the different bulbs, which are all the different medicines. And at the very top is the star, which I see as 5-MeO-DMT. And all of the light bulbs, all the other psychedelics, powerful, incredible spirits. They're different because when we have the experiences with them, we are going on a journey with our sense of I or self still intact. It's a multi-hour journey where we are witnessing content. Maybe we are visiting our ancestors, maybe we are going to past lives, so on and so forth. And it's different because with 5-MeO-DMT, as we get deeper into the experience, there's less sense of self. There is less ego present, meaning there's less of a me to witness what is happening. So versus other psychedelics, they can be very visual experiences. 5-MeO-DMT tends to be less visual. With some of the more common things that people report are brilliant, bright, blinding white light. Sometimes like a black, hollow, intelligent, fertile womb. But yeah, it's beautiful. And 5-MeO-DMT, what I see is there's kind of two different routes here. If we're going for the full shebang with the medicine, we're going all the way in, we may have a full disillusion of self, a full potential ego death, but a full disillusion to the point where we are no longer ourselves, but we just are. We are reemerging with the infinite whole. Our totality, our home, and our truth. And it can be one of the most impactful experiences anyone could ever have. You may have heard the term, if you're familiar with this medicine, the Godgasm, where people feel they are having a palpable experience of not only being with God, but being God themselves. And so you can imagine when you return back to the human body after that experience. What things could shift within a human being from having that understanding that we are so much more than this little human suit, that we are actually infinite by nature. And if we are infinite, there are infinite possibilities for our trajectory in life, which is incredible because the neuroplastic effects with 5-MeO-DMT are showing to be some of the best out there scientifically. So if you pair that with this feeling of knowing that we are infinite and then the science behind our brains entering into neuroplasticity, where if we actually choose to integrate with this medicine in a very serious way, the amount of change that can happen is incredible. On the other side of things, not everyone is meant to have that full bliss God experience right off the bat. And I think that's where we get into a lot of trouble because, if we go into the forums and different places to read about this experience, we're going to hear a ton about the bliss experience. But just as much or even more, people have challenging experiences, and maybe they don't have that full merging and they are still have a sense of self. And it's not a bad thing at all. This just means sometimes there's more layers that need to be addressed, things in the psyche that are really asking to be worked on and to be healed. And so, you know, there's different dosage protocols that we work with here at Tandava, but one of the protocols that we love working with is with low to medium doses. I would say that's, you know, probably where we get the majority of the work done, because with still a shred of self left and the intention of going into specific corners of the mind, or maybe there's healing that's asked to be addressed, the person is able to really engage with their process. And so, yeah, you know, getting into things like grief, getting into sacred rage, sometimes repressed memories start to come up and they're able to move through those. And so, yeah, you know, 5-MeO-DMT is infinite in nature. I don't think that it's something that can be explained by anyone. You know, one of the things that we like to say is gnosis, which is an alchemical word for knowledge through experience. I can talk all day on this podcast about what it is. You can read about it all day, but we'll never fully understand what this experience is unless we have it ourselves.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And, you know, in that same vein, you know, one of the reasons 5 excites me so much, you know, I come from a meditation mindfulness background for many, many years. And it's this like track, the return of the ego. You know, there's just so many rich insights of where my own personal work is just put on display. You know, during this, there's really for me, and I know for many others, there's a very long tail of this medicine. Whether you're coming back from a full release, that full ego dissolution experience, or from the low doses, right? Because even at the low doses, the ego is more quiet. It's just kind of resting, you know, to the side a little bit more. And then it starts to come back online more fully. And I feel like if we just stay with our presence and stay with our mindfulness, like I notice people will often like try to pop up, like it's over, like I'm done. The ego tries to come back in. And if people can just stay quiet and come back to their bodies, come back to the breath, there's so much more there. So I just I love this about 5. And I also love what you said about it only being an ally. Because I think this is something that's discussed in the psychedelic community with all medicines, you know, of people kind of going back to the medicine and back to the medicine and back to the medicine. But it's also our own work, right? That needs to happen, right? Whether we do, you know, integration with integration coach, you know, I use parts work a lot. I feel like parts work and 5 just go together like peas and carrots. And so I'm curious to have you respond just to that. That idea and sense of just tracking that return of the ego and what it is that you're all learning, you know, in the research or at Tandava with people that come on retreats, you know, in that piece, that kind of return after the medicine is wearing off.
Yeah, this is such a special moment. I think with any medicine, this is a really special moment, but particularly with 5. And it's really, yeah, it's funny with the human mind when it starts to come back online. It was just all pervasive, everything straight into the infinite. Now it's back in a little human body, and our ego is there to help us survive, to be safe. And it has no idea what the hell just happened in that experience. And so when it comes back online, it is on high alert. You know, one of the analogies that I use is like when we go into the medicine, it's almost like our computer gets shut down, it gets unplugged. And then when we return back to the body, it's getting plugged back in. And as it's getting plugged back in, all of these different programs, our programs start to slowly bloop, 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 they start to pop up. And it's really, really beautiful because it's showing us where we have some significant work to do. One of the common things that we see is folks, you know, coming back and how long has it been? How long has it been? How much time am I taking? You know, what we'll talk about it a ton beforehand, you know, take up space. This is your space. But how many of us as human beings have been taught to take up space? Not many of us. And so there can be this This pattern of not being worthy to take up that space, and other patterns start to pop up too. There can be patterns of feeling vulnerable, starting to look down and wondering, are my clothes still on? Did I throw up? Just making sure to check the surroundings. What did I do in front of these people? All of those types of things. And so the return, there's so much good content here. One, what patterns are coming up? Because these are things that we can work with in the integration process. And then two, really taking the time, like you said, Michelle, taking the time to be in that process. Because, one of the things that we teach is that we do not rely on the medicine experience to make everything happen in that moment. Instead, we see it as a catharsis. It's a trigger for catharsis, and everything is starting to come up. It's starting to move. It's moving through the body. It's moving out, but it's not something that can just happen instantaneously. We have to work with the process. And so if we are starting to have this energy that's a big energy just moved and it's continuing to process, and the person is, oh, I need to pop up and I need to get back to this human experience, it can be really useful to encourage the person to close their eyes again, to even guide them with a little bit of, a few words of relaxation and meditation to bring their gaze and awareness back into that internal world. And something we see when we give the person that invitation and they take it is oftentimes they'll go back into a full other experience, and more insights start to come up, more downloads that they can later use in their integration process. So yeah, it's really interesting. And too, like with the word catharsis I used, where stuck, stagnant, suppressed everything, emotions, feelings, thoughts, memories, all of it can start to come up. And it's funny because when we return, when we come back onto the pad, anything can happen. We might be feeling the most amount of grief we've ever felt. We may be feeling absolute rage. We may be feeling absolute bliss. There may be sadness to return. Joseph Campbell in The Hero's Journey, if anyone's familiar, talks about the refusal to return. And this is also prevalent. It's like, wow, that was so beautiful. That was home. I want to stay there forever. And then we come back and there can be a bit of a sadness. So, we always encourage people, whatever is happening in your process, take the time, take the space, as much space as you need, and really feel into and lean into what's coming up. What is this opening trying to tell you? And how can you use it in your own process to better your life? Yeah. Yeah, that's a little bit about the return.
Yeah, I love the return. And I find it so unique every time. It's never the same, and it always shows me where the direction to go to find my freedom. It always puts me in the direction of my freedom, if I can do that work and I can attend. So thank you for sharing that. So beautiful.
Absolutely.
Five is also an interesting medicine because it can be worked with at low doses, right? And also in these, full release doses of this full non-dual union with universal consciousness, but everything in between, right? Where often when we talk about psychedelics, we say, maybe you start with MDMA and that really tills the soil and opens things up and you can kind of see what's there, and then maybe you go deeper into psilocybin, and maybe ayahuasca and eventually 5-MeO-DMT. But 5-MeO-DMT also has this ability to till the soil, at low doses, like you were speaking to earlier, where you really can see what's there. And then it has everything in between, and kind of that full release. So I'm just curious how you think about this perspective when you think about five, because I find it so fascinating. I don't know that there's anything else like it.
Can you clarify the question for me?
Yeah. So I'm curious, I feel like five, you can do everything with five. Like it's all there. Where I feel like other medicines, you take the medicine and you're in a big experience, right? Where with five, particularly at low doses, you can titrate, how far you want to go, how deep you want to go in that day, how long you want to be in the medicine. It has this very unique ability not at a full release dose, of course, if you go all the way, but at the lower doses, you can titrate your own experience. And I don't know that exists anywhere else.
Okay, I think I hear what you're saying. So, yeah, I love it. There's so many different routes and options with 5-MeO, especially when we're working with the pure molecule. You know, we've got the routes with the pens, we've got lamps, we've got health stones, we've got suppositories, intramuscular, the list just goes on and on and on. But you know, I think this is where the skill level of the facilitator comes in. Because depending on the participant's background, you know, the different traumas and experiences they've been through, what kind of state they are coming to you, what kind of stability they have in their home life, what kind of intentions they have, their sensitivity to medicine. There's a whole lot of different things that we need to consider as facilitators in terms of what approach to take with someone, what dosing. Is this somebody who would be served from a full dose right off the bat? Is this somebody who would be served by going in by a titrated approach? And they're both fantastic and they're both useful. It's interesting though, if we take a participant who is not ready for a full release dose, that can be traumatizing for them. If we take, for example, someone who is ready for a full release dose but has a very, we'll say, inflated ego, it can be an extremely challenging experience for someone to titrate them in. And so getting to know our participants. And yeah, like I said, both are fantastic. I love titrating, specifically with folks who have trauma, who aren't in a, you know, a super acute state. We don't really work with folks in a super acute state anyway, but it's incredible because as I've been bringing up this word catharsis, our bodies hang on to our stuff. Our traumas, our experiences. It's in the connective tissues, it's in the fascia. And yeah, especially like in the women's retreat, we work with a titrated approach. We do multiple medicine sessions. And, you know, thinking about it, a lot of women, they don't really have stable nervous systems who've been through sexual trauma. And to start off at a full dose for somebody who doesn't feel safe in their body, who doesn't, you know, often feel safe in their surroundings, who needs to build relationship. A titrated approach can be fantastic. And so thinking about all of the trauma that's stored in that connective tissue and fascia, and we bring the intention focused, hey, I'm here to work on my sexual trauma. Maybe we're thinking about a specific event or a situation, really bringing our mind and awareness there. And then we're having those titrated doses meeting that intention to a degree where the participant is still present to a degree because we're in lower to medium doses, but still kind of tapped in and plugged in. And so all of that stuff that's stuck inside finally has the opportunity to move. And you think about the animal kingdom and you think about, you know, if a lion is chasing a gazelle, and the gazelle gets away, and just by the hair of its chinny chin chin, and it shakes all the trauma out of the body. But we don't do that. We don't do that as humans. We just hang on to it, and then it comes out in, you know, different behaviors and different patterns and self-criticism. And so I just love this medicine and its ability to be used in so many different ways. And then when we pair it up with skill sets as facilitators, we can really meet our participants where they're at to get some serious work done.
Thank you. You spoke to some of the challenges, about working with the medicine at different doses. So I wonder if you could share, I'm sure people listening would appreciate, what the most significant challenges or risks, associated with the use of 5-MeO-DMT, whether it's recreationally or therapeutically, what people should be thinking about as risks and what to consider when considering this medicine for themselves.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'm glad you asked that. So obviously there are physical risks, things like blunt trauma. Folks can go very physically dynamic depending on what they're releasing. So there's been people who've had concussions and broken limbs. There's been actually folks who have jumped off cliffs because their facilitators did it right next to a cliff, and drowned in water because they did it right next to ocean. These are all, facilitator negligence here. But yeah, really, one thing we need to think about is blunt trauma. We want to keep our participants soft and safe. The other thing is asphyxiation. About like 10 to 15% of folks purge on this medicine, just really depending on, again, what they're moving. Of course, it's important to have facilitators who are trained with you so that if you are purging, you don't have to worry about a thing. They're going to take care of you and roll you into recovery. Having facilitators who are trained in first aid and CPR, so if something does happen, they know how to keep you safe. Contraindications. There's tons of contraindicated medications out there. A big one, MAOIs, and things to think about with that. For example, our serotonin syndrome, folks with seizures, folks on lithium. There's a really, if anybody's curious to know more about the contraindications and different medications, on the Five website, there's actually a section that's called Risks, Cautions, and Contraindications. And it's we teamed up with Ben Malcolm, the spirit pharmacist, to offer the public a free resource. So, yeah, we don't have to run into any of these issues here. So those are a few things. Obviously, we want to vet our facilitators. We want to make sure that we are feeling safe, we're feeling secure. Our facilitators have had lots of training with this medicine. Lots of time sitting with other folks, not just people in explorative states, but people who are coming for deep healing, so that we know that our facilitators can hold us in a big way. I would say those are kind of the top things if somebody is curious stepping into this work. And if anyone wants to learn more, the Five website has anything you would ever need to know about 5-MeO-DMT.
Yes, and we'll definitely have that link in the show notes if anyone has trouble finding it, but they shouldn't have any trouble. I wonder if I could put you on the spot if you'd be willing to share any of your own personal insights or reflections, that have been catalyzed or deepened by your personal experience with 5-MeO-DMT over the years. It doesn't necessarily have to be something recent, but I think it'd be really wonderful for everyone listening just to hear a real-time example of somebody who knows this medicine intimately, and if you'd be willing to share something.
Yes. Can you clarify a little bit about the question?
So something that you've worked within yourself. So when working with the medicine, something that has come up for you or a part of you that needed to be worked with. Like I can share something for myself just recently, because I'm sitting with full releases more often right now, preparing for the training, that I'll be doing with you. And on my last return, I was intimately aware of moving from like no body, right, to full energy body, like as the return was coming. And then I was just tracking, watching that coming back to physical body, so slowly. And then once I got back to physical body, I was aware of my energy body. And this brought me to a realization that I was holding back in my own work, working with energy, right? I had kind of been introduced to energy work 15, 16 years ago, and I went too fast and too far, and it scared me, and I just kind of shut it down. And I had this insight of, oh, I'm holding back. There's a way in which I can bring this work to myself, to my family, to my clients, there's some fear there. And it became very clear that the fear was there. And so now I'm able to work with that, in my own way, working with Otto, who is the integration specialist who I'm loving working with at Tendava. If anybody's looking for integration support, you have amazing integration specialists at Tendava. But I'm curious for you, like, is there an example you can share?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. I would say the biggest insight, and it's just like continuous insight that keeps coming through every time I do medicine, is the weight and importance of integration. It's so much different with 5-MeO and other psychedelics. I would say that the experience itself is a tip of the iceberg, and the whole, like, a big portion of the experience is the integration. I know so many folks who forego it And you know they get what I call a washover, where it was basically a peak experience that kind of fades away. They might even get a few little changes and things like that. Maybe they become super destabilized after and have no idea what's going on. And I'll just share a personal experience of mine to share kind of what I'm speaking to here. I had a medicine experience, oh, how many years ago? Maybe like 3 or 4 years ago. Where I had a very big intention going in. I had a very big intention, and I went in at my exact birth time, on my birthday. And it was the most dynamic experience I'd ever had. I was covered in vomit. I guess everyone in the room couldn't even keep me basically contained because I was so dynamic. And you know, oftentimes we don't really remember what happened on the medicine. I just know it was big. I had no idea what I unlocked, and it really made me responsible for how I approach working with this medicine since then, of not just being like, oh, I feel like doing medicine, I feel like there's something that I need to work into, and recognizing, oh, okay, I'm about to do medicine. Do I have time and space for myself for anything to come up afterwards? Because I know now what this medicine can do when it's moving big things in us. And so after that experience, I went into a significant dark night of the soul for 2 straight months. When I was a child, I won't go into the whole thing, but I was went through sexual abuse, sexual trauma myself, which is obviously why I'm called to holding these spaces for women. And there was a lot of pain. There was a lot of pain at that time. And in that pain, I found myself being very suicidal, attempting. And, you know, I never really fully addressed it. I had done a ton of medicine work and it kind of scratched the surface, but it didn't hit it in the way this one did. I went into such a dark night of the soul where I became very depressed for 2 straight months. And it was so strange because I had never been depressed since I was this age when this stuff came up, 13. I became so depressed. There were even thoughts, just like when I was a child, there were even thoughts of suicide. And it was so strange to me because my life was great. There was nothing in my life that felt like I'm not happy. Like, where is this coming from? And having to sit in that for 2 months while it was moving and processing out of my system was the most challenging period. I would say one of the most challenging periods of my entire life. I had days where I couldn't get out of bed. I was crying all day, you know, all sorts of stuff without getting into too much detail. And it wasn't until the end, there was like the last week there, I was like, I cannot handle this anymore. Man, I knew that medicine could do things like this. I had heard of it, but it's never happened to me. And I don't think I can handle this anymore. And I did a very small amount of medicine, just a little handshake, just to kind of ask for some clarity and some guidance. And I got the very clear message: you are in a death process and you need to let yourself die. And there's no controlling or resisting or fighting this process. You need to just let go in the current. You need to surrender and you need to allow, because the longer you fight, the longer this is going to last. And I just curled up into a little fetal position. I accepted, wow, this pain and this suffering and all of this that I'd been holding on to for so long, it's finally time for this to leave. It's going to be a process and I have to be okay with that. And I accepted it. And it was so funny. The very next day, I was back to normal, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Life was great. It was such a big lesson for me. But I would say that time and time again, this medicine has shown me that integration is such a key, and to not just sit with medicine because we think it's going to solve all our problems. It might get messy for a while afterwards, but that's why it's called doing the work, and it's so worth it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm just feeling in my whole system the story that you shared, and I'm just appreciating this highlighting of integration and of the medicine not being the answer, you know, it being the ally, you know, that we walk alongside, and the sweetness of just kind of returning to the medicine in just the smallest of ways, just to ask for its guidance is so beautiful. And this happens, you know, not just with five, but with other medicines, you know, people don't always understand that you can become destabilized, on any of the psychedelics, and to really consider that, when you're getting ready to work with it. So that story is just so helpful. Thank you for sharing it. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I'd love to hear if there's any ways, or any emerging trends or kind of novel approaches in either the research or therapy, involving 5-MeO-DMT that you find particularly promising or noteworthy, anything any of us should be kind of just really tracking or thinking about that's kind of going on in that world?
I mean, one of the spaces that you're in right now, Michelle, is the pen world. I think there's a lot of promising stuff in working with these med this beautiful medicine in low doses. Obviously, there are a lot of risks attached as well in terms of, things like addictive behavior, recreational use, et cetera. But yeah, actually, Michelle, I'm really, really fascinated with the work that you're doing in combination with IFS. IFS is such a powerful powerful medicine in itself. To combine it with this medicine is incredible. Actually, our integration specialist here, for anybody who is looking for an integration specialist, we have a list on the Five website, but you'll notice they all have different skill sets. And a lot of them are internal family systems, somatics, Hakomi, all of these different modalities. And I would just say it's just incredible to see how the different pairings of working with the psyche and the body and integration, and while on the medicine too, in very low doses, the power that it has. Yeah, I'm feeling really, really hopeful and excited to see folks who are really experts in those areas in terms of putting together protocols.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And also I love that you're highlighting, that it does have an addiction quality, particularly when it's so easily accessible, just like any other drug that we can cigarettes, or cannabis or anything else, right? That we can just access easily. And just saying that out loud, just double clicking on it for anyone listening. That there is that risk, and to really hold this medicine in reverence, in the reverence that it deserves. Ideally to be working with facilitators or trusted friends, or trusted sitters who understand it, and can support you. And really I'm excited to see that evolve as well. Particularly, of course, I'm personally very interested in the low dose pen work, combined with internal family systems. I've done so much work with myself and others in those in that capacity, and I'm excited. I'm excited. Well, and there's a lot of others who are excited. So I think there's a lot more to come on that. So thanks for highlighting that.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, really exciting. And to speak to that point, I want to double click on something you just said around it made me think of how psychedelics, amplify what's already there, right? They can amplify what's already there. People can mistakenly think they're doing kind of deep inner work, but really it's amplifying the ego or a messiah complex or people thinking they're God. So like amplifying the ego in ways that maybe we didn't expect. And rather than quieting it and helping us intimately know it and work with it. So I wonder how, that's something that concerns me in the psychedelic space at large, but I wonder more specifically around 5-MeO-DMT, what kind of conversations are going on in your communities around it amplifying in a way that's not as supportive or helpful to us in our lives and what you're all seeing in that space.
Yeah, to be honest, I think this all comes down to mentorship. It really does. Whether it's with full dose 5-MeO-DMT or low dose with kind of the pens, which has, some more issues there because it's really easy for us to just be able to pick up a pen. We're in a car, obviously not a good idea. We're at a concert or our friend has one and just gives it to us. There's that accessibility issue where it's easier to work with it. And I guess I'll just kind of highlight what you're talking about here. And then I'll go into the mentorship bit. About this amplification, we're working with the medicine of the ego. You know, we've talked about this at the beginning of the podcast, where it can be an ego dissolver, there can be an ego death. It's really the experience of being without ego temporarily, depending on if we go all the way, and then coming back. And the ego, because its function is to survive and to keep us safe, it will wrap around the experience, and it will try to compartmentalize it. It will try to understand it. It will make stories out of, you know, God knows what. And because of that, the integration is so key. If we have this experience, for example, where we perceive ourselves as God, we've experienced that, and we choose not to integrate that experience, and we just keep doing more medicine, because like you said, Michelle, sometimes folks are like, oh, I just need to keep doing medicine. Maybe they fall into, they do the medicine and then they go home and they cut some, someone cuts them off in traffic, and they get really mad and get into a pattern. And they're like, oh no, I messed up all my work. I swore at this person. I definitely need to do more medicine. So they keep going back to the medicine, and maybe they don't have a facilitator that is educating them on the importance of integration, and really in it for financial benefits. There are folks like that out there. And so this person just keeps doing medicine. Well, what is going to happen as we are working with the medicine of the ego? If we do that, there can be ego inflation. And just like you said, Michelle, it can turn into narcissism. It can turn into, you know, full-blown messiah complex, as we've seen. I won't go into a bunch of stories of things that we've seen, but it does happen. Or on the contrary, if we have one medicine experience, we take it very seriously and we make a commitment to do the integration and work with that content, it can teach us how to live in better harmony and unity with not only ourselves, but our fellow human, nature, the universe, in a way that, yeah, it's unitive. You know, we're in more control of the ego, rather than the ego being the driver. We're the one in the driver's seat, determining how loud that voice is within ourselves. And so the point that I was making about mentorship here, I think education is so key. Education is key with anything we do. It's really important that there's some solid mentors and elders out there with really, really good experience behind their belts. And when folks are stepping into facilitation, they're learning about these things. They're learning about these risks, because, you know, some of the stories that we've heard where people do medicine one time, they decide they want to serve 5-MeO, they go and do a 3 or 4 day training in Tulum. Now they're a facilitator and they're doing medicine with every single one of their participants, you know, with them. So they're doing a ton of medicine. They're doing medicine on their time off. And then suddenly there's this ego inflation that happens. Well, what happens when we have an ego inflation? We think that we are the center of the universe. And so this is where we see things like cults being formed, all sorts of crazy things. So yeah, I think it really comes down to anybody who's looking to step into facilitation seriously, always having mentorship. I mean, we outgrow our mentors too. That's natural. When we've outgrown a mentor, find a new one, because there's so much knowledge that they have in terms of being able to not only just like guide us, but help us to not fall into these types of ego traps, which is going to happen. I think that's an important thing to highlight. Like, we are human beings and we have an ego, and it's not a bad thing to have an ego. But when we step into the role of facilitation or just a leader in general, no matter if we're teaching yoga classes or facilitating, it is natural for our ego to identify to our position. And if we don't have someone to keep us in check, we are not going to know when our head is up our asses. And it's going to be really hard when we can't see clearly to hold space in a way that is best serving for our participants. And so, yeah, mentorship.
Beautiful. And yeah, and living in co-visibility, you know, with other practitioners and other people, if you're not a practitioner, but you're working with the medicine, living in co-visibility with others who are working with the medicine, right? So sharing experiences and is this normal and getting integration support. And so I just think community. And I feel very grateful to have you and Joelle and the N5 community as part of my community, and that will grow over time. And yes, so everyone listening, you know, just be in co-visibility, keep yourself safe, do the inner work, you know, focus on integration. And it's not about the medicine, right? The medicine is an ally. And it's, you know, all of us in these ego skin suits have to do the work. You know, we have to do the work. So I really appreciate that perspective. Thank you, Victoria. Well, just kind of wrapping up, I wonder if there's anything you'd like to share that you haven't shared, and certainly also, you know, share what you've kind of been poking around at the Five educational website and Tendava. So just anything you might like to share in closing about, you know, the work that you're doing or resources, and, you know, just any closing words.
I would just encourage anyone that is looking to work with this medicine to head over to that website. It's five-meo.education. And we have free monthly webinars with amazing guests who are experts in the 5-MeO field. We've got free bi-weekly community integration circles. You don't have to pay anything. You can meet with people all around the world who have had these experiences. Even if you haven't sat and you just want to hear about other people's experiences, please, you are always welcome. We have a list of integration specialists. If you want to have an integration session privately or a container privately with people who are skilled, all of our integration specialists specialize in 5-MeO. They all have their own personal experience with 5-MeO, as we think that's really important. So that's a resource. Obviously, the training program, we do have a few more spots left in the training. The training program, I'll share a little bit about that. It's a 9-month program for facilitators. There are obviously requirements. Some of our requirements are having, you know, roughly give or take 10 full sits under their belt, having at least 1 year to integrate from their first experience. Be great if possible to have some experience in a leadership role before stepping into facilitation. And it's going to be completely unique for each person that is applying. So please do apply if you're feeling the call. But it is a 9-month program and it is 8.5 months online as a class. We take a max of 15 students because low numbers are really important to us. We don't want anyone to get missed in the cracks. I really want to stay with you in your process. And we've brought in over 35 guest teachers and speakers who are all experts in their field. So everything from neuroscience to pharmacology, application, mysticism, you name it, it's all in there. And then it ends with a 2-week segment here at Tandava, getting hands-on experience. So I'm super excited about that. And we have a few more spots left.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Victoria. And thank you just for the leadership and the work and the heart and the intention that you and Joelle put into building these communities and supporting so many of us. And I just appreciate your spirit and your time today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michelle. It's been an honor to be here. And yeah, so thankful for the work you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Bye, everyone. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks for listening to Expanded States. If you enjoyed listening to our podcast, please follow us and be sure to share our show with your family and friends.